is Adam. I'm a Jewish boy. I'm very neurotic that people are going to get mad at me. I like Jews. I like Christian people. There should be no problem.
Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Line, also known as Sex Talk and also known as Love Line. I'm your host, DJ Sensual 2000, and tonight we're having a show that defies any sort of ordinary categorization. We have so many topics to talk about that no ordinary sort of human language could express them. So tonight with me in the studio is our old friend Sebastian, back with us from where were you, in France?
Oh yes, all around Europe.
And of course Luke, our fabulous co-host Luke.
Good evening.
So I would like to actually launch off with Luke. Luke, you were just telling me backstage about how you just came back from a Burger Munch?
Yes,
some
indeed.
This is some kind of fast food restaurant in Squirrel Hill?
It's the nice restaurant in Shadyside where once a month kinky people gather to just be kinky people together. No play going on. Not even necessarily talking about the BDSM, because the people into BDSM have the same concerns as everyone else about like what the weather's like, how computers suck, what's on TV.
So this is a restaurant in Shadyside devoted to BDSM?
No. Oh. It is a gathering of people, a monthly gathering of people who are into BDSM, which happens to be at a restaurant in Shadyside.
Hmm. That's fascinating. So if any of our, is there an info line people can call if they want to join this? Is this a closed group or an open group or what?
I'm not quite sure how to describe it. It's reasonably open, because this can be a nice, gentle way for the new people to get into the BDSM scene. But on the other hand, you don't want people to suck. You only want people who are coming who are going to the get upset themselves or make other people upset or bring the police or anything.
Right.
So
do you have some kind of rigorous screening process? Or is it just word of mouth, or you have to be a friend of a friend? You have to be inducted by a current member and doing some sort of degrading ritual?
It's kind of a loose friend of a friend thing. For people who are curious, they could send me email at ralph@cs.cmu.edu.
That's RALPH.
Yes. And ask me about this, and I could give them pointers.
So you, I think you said that something about tonight's discussion was unusually compelling, or?
Well, often the discussion wanders off into things not really related to sex or BDSM, like the weather or the computer troubles or so forth. And today, I tried to work on changing that by turning to the people who were around me and saying that, "Hi, this is what I'm into too. I'm a dom. I like getting flogged without a dominant submissive context. I like that biting people's." I like hypnosis, that sort of thing. Would you tell me what sort of things you like, please? And this is fascinating. This is part of the reason I'm a co-host on this radio show, that I find it just terribly fascinating to hear about other people's experience of sex.
By the way, if you're a listener who wants to share his or her experience of sex, you can call us at 268-WRCT. That's 268-9728.
Please do call. We'd love to have you call.
So I'm actually interested in just the kind of technical detail of something you said, which was you're interested in being flogged outside of a dominant submissive context. Now, what does that mean? You know, for someone like myself, for whom degradation is an integral part of the sexual experience, I can't imagine what it's like to factor that out. So,
So let me approach that aspect from another point of view. That in some way, a flogging is kind of like a massage, except extra hard.
In some way, I'm sorry, but in some ways, being set on fire is like a massage, except with more, combustion.
Right? Well, yes, I think that my analogy is a little closer. That a flogging can just like start out gentle and be kind of a friendly thing without a heavy power dynamic. Just the way that massaging someone, giving someone else a back rub, doesn't have to involve a heavy power dynamic, and just it goes up further than a massage does, but it can have a lot of that sort of release of tension and feeling clarified that a massage can. And then when I get really into a flogging, I like to use the energy of the flogging to let the beast rise up inside me and feel like a Black Panther, a wild beast. And that's wonderful and a great feeling, but it doesn't really fit into any sort of submissive feeling.
And by Black Panther, I assume you mean the animal and not the sort of 60s radical group,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, Sebastian, have you been had any experience with this sort of flogging lifestyle? Have you ever?
Sadly to say, I
haven't. Yeah. So, no pain play at all in your experiences?
No. I occasionally bite my boyfriend's buttocks.
Really?
I'm giving and not receiving it.
Giving
pain.
Oh, I see. So you're biting his buttocks. What,
yes.
So in what context? Like, are you just while you're?
I'd like to know just about the anatomical context here. Yeah. Like, what are the rest of your bodies doing?
Usually, he's getting dressed.
Oh my. So if we were to bring in your boyfriend for a sort of a proctology examination right now, his butt would be covered with painful bruises and bite marks, or
no? I don't break the skin.
So this is not during the sex act, like while you're performing a blowjob.
It's usually when he gets out of the shower in the morning,
oh,
and
wow.
I see him getting dressed.
And you just like sneak up there like a little stealthy panther and
yes.
And bite his butt. Does he know you're there? Or
he doesn't know I'm going to do that, of course.
Wow.
The element of surprise.
And so I need to understand this bite. Is this a long, is this like a little love bite, or is this a long, kind of painful? You said it didn't break the skin, but does it
right.
hurt? Is he like?
Yes, he usually complains.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. So, wow.
I very much like the biting. It goes so well with the vampire imagery that I like to play with. So, I like the biting people's throats in slow, drawn out, painful way.
Good Lord, you have vampire-like teeth, if I not, I mean, a set of
I
artificial
canines. I do have artificial canines for vampire fangs, but I don't use them when I'm biting. Oh, both because because it's just two teeth instead of my entire the upper jaw, it focuses the pain so much that it's much harder for people to tolerate, and it's much harder to build it up slowly and let people dissolve in that pain. And I also, because, and this is something vampire movies don't point out, if you're using the fangs on your upper canines, but no fangs on the lower teeth, and you bite someone hard enough to leave a mark, then the mark of the two, the upper fangs and the whole lower jaw, looks like a smiley face.
Really? Oh, wow, that's incredible. So that presumably takes away some of the terror, I guess.
It is kind of ironic, yeah.
I mean, so surely, maybe we've talked about this, surely some of your freakish friends have had permanent canines installed by some kind of rogue dentist.
I've had acquaintances with the permanent fangs, no one that I know closely.
Yeah, incredible. So I assume in Sebastian's case here, I assume the bitee, so he's annoyed or amused by this, but it's not part of his sexual, you know, fantasies to get butt bitten, or is it?
I don't think so. He's too vanilla.
Oh, I see. I mean, but in Luke's case, now it must be different. Right? You're the person you're biting has probably got some sort of vampire victim fantasy going, right? You know, like
yes.
Slave of the undead or whatever.
Yes, and it's a very powerful. Can be a very powerful fantasy to feel just that such a complete surrender to someone else's power.
Wow. So do you what's my question? Do you draw blood ever, either of you? I mean, actual. I mean, I know that's an unsafe practice, but with the right person, presumably you could.
It's pretty darn unsafe, even with the right person, because blood carries even more diseases than just any other bodily fluid. But I have not drawn blood in my experience.
Interesting.
I sometimes left some really pretty bruises, though.
Yeah, I was wondering, I mean, you could, sort of a fake blood. I mean, is that, you could, like, have a little movie star style blood packet. By the way, if any of the producers of the Wonder Boys who are filming here on the Carnegie Mellon University campus are listening, I am available. You can contact my agent here at 268 WRCT. I offer a full suite of services to the Hollywood community. So
I'd be personal
debugging.
Especially, yeah. So Michael Douglas, Robert Downey Jr., who I believe recently admitted this was reported in the Inquirer, he admitted that he's had several homosexual encounters or homosexual-like encounters. This was in an interview in something called Detour Magazine. It was reported in the Inquirer, which of course I read religiously. And somebody else, I don't know, some female is in this movie. So, anyway, where were we?
Biting.
So, Sebastian, I'm curious because, you know, whenever I talk with Luke here about his sex life, there's always this fabulous element of role-playing and drama, you know, and there's all this kind of, there's this big fantasy element. I mean, with me and my partner, I mean, it's just sort of like, you know, you do me, then, you know, I have my climax, and then, you know, sanity returns, and then I have to, like, sort of summon all of my politeness to, like, finish my partner off, and then we go back to, like, you know, the AOL chat room or whatever. So it's all very mechanical, but, and Luke's sex life, by contrast, is so rich, and I was wondering if you could describe yours. You've got this biting thing going.
Well, I grant that I do have the mechanical humdrum sex sometimes. Sometimes it's just like to snuggle up to my partner, to turn on the vibrator, to let it rip, and I'm just kind of falling asleep. But sure, the best sex I have, which is the part that's most fun to talk about, is the sex with that drama and richness.
Sebastian?
Yes. Well, you know, when you've been together as long as we have.
Which is, what, half a decade now?
Or we just had our 7th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Mother of Mary, that's incredible.
I think so.
Well, I myself have coming up on my 5-year anniversary, which is also in unimaginably long. So
isn't that the rubber anniversary? Or the latex? I'm not sure.
I thought the 5th year was the intramuscular stimulating dildo anniversary, but
I think you're right. Actually, yes. So, well, when you've been together so long, it's very difficult to keep things very exciting, and so it's very quite plain. Usually more to do the job than anything else. But I will admit, he's my partner, that is, has been becoming interested in setting up a 3-way for us.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
3-way. Mm-hmm. Incredible. So I don't, you know, that's incredibly, in my mind at least, it's an incredibly topical and important topic, because I myself would like to introduce a third person into my own relationship, but
you have a specific person in mind.
Well, no. See, that's just it. It has to be just the right person.
It's very difficult
because they have to be someone that you like and that you're all attracted to. You know, sort of all this mutual pairwise attraction.
No.
Yeah.
No. Already a point of contention.
Yeah. Well, not true.
Let me just finish my claim. And B, you know, it also has to be someone who's like not gonna like freak out and like fall in love with one of you and totally destroy your relationship. So they have to have.
So are you looking for? It sounds like you're looking for just a three-some encounter instead of an ongoing three-way relationship.
Yes, I think I'm looking for something, you know, not polyamory, which has been expounded on this show many times, but indeed just sort of, you know, a human kind of fun sex partner who can just come and go at my whim.
Well, they could introduce a bit of surprise and spontaneity.
Yeah.
Different.
And so I'm interested. So you were objecting to my claim that there had to be mutual pairwise
yes.
attraction.
So okay, I'll explain. So we've had one or two encounters over the 7 years we've been together.
You have?
Yes. And so the first time is because my partner found this person attractive and wanted to fool around with him, this guy. And I don't particularly find him attractive, but I agreed because he wanted to do it. And it was fine, and I have no qualms about it.
So you, all three of you are present, but you just were sort of not as enthusiastic.
Yeah, I was more of a detached voyeur, as it were, as it turned out. But that was just fine for me, as it turned out. And he had his fun, and then, you know, this third person went away, and then we had more fun together.
So what's the topology of this, the detached voyeur thing? I mean, are you lending your body parts to the scenario, or are you just like watching and sort of masturbating, or what?
Watching, masturbating, and I let this third guy touch me, and that was about the extent of it.
Hmm. Interesting. And then I think you said there was a later scenario that was different. You were more interested.
Oh, the second scenario, the second time that we did this, this third guy was more interested in me than in my partner, and so I became the focus of attention. That's what happened. The dynamics of a threesome is that when two people are a couple, the third person is the unknown, and so if that person attaches himself more readily to one or the other, then you get a different pairing, and the third person is kind of the third wheel.
Hmm.
It's hard to get a perfectly balanced triangle.
Yeah, that would get my guess, and I have very little experience myself, is that these things would tend to be a V, or perhaps change over time, so that for the first hour it's a V that pointing one way, and then for the second hour it's a V pointing another way, or some such.
Okay, so I'm sorry, my geometric background requires a clarification. The V pointing, what?
So like, the
Oh, you just mean this, okay.
I mean,
it's not like the V is rotating. It means that there's different edges between the.
That a different person is the center of attention.
Oh, okay.
Well, isn't that the same thing when it's just two people? One person gets it done sometimes, the other person gets done. Sometimes it's mutual. Mm-hmm. Same difference.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Because you have another vertex in the threesome to deal with.
So I've only had one or two threesome encounters, and they were plagued with problems of jealousy. Have those been a problem for you?
Not at all. Because usually the third person was someone that we didn't know, mm-hmm. hardly knew, and I'm completely confident and comfortable in my relationship. But I could imagine that could be a problem.
Sure.
That's why you have to be so careful about introducing a third. If you ever watch Loveline on MTV, there's always a question. They call up and they say, I want to have a threesome, or my boyfriend's asking to have a threesome. And the advice is always don't do it because of the jealousy aspect. Mm-hmm. I think it's harder in heterosexual relationships than in homosexual relationships.
I could imagine that.
Interesting. So Sebastian, what context did you, or how did you find, like, this eligible third party?
Well, the two times that actually did happen, it was when we were cruising at the Loop in Shenley Park. We encountered
them. Really?
Yes.
The sexual encounter didn't happen, like, in the woods, did it?
Why would you think that? Yes, both times that it actually did.
Good.
So that's actually quite
gracious.
So it was quite short and much different than is if we had invited someone back to our place.
Sex outside, like in the woods?
Yes.
Au naturel, yes. As they say?
What time of year are we talking about?
Oh, summer.
Okay.
But this time we're actually scouting the internet.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks to the miracles of IRC and NetMeeting and a little cam hooked up to our PC. The dynamics have changed for this search.
So this NetMeeting, this is some kind of product. So you have a camera hooked up to your computer, and you can, like, have these little video conferences with these other people, and you, like, what? You, like, jack off for each other, or what?
Oh, yes, you can.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've had two people contact us interested in joining us. Locally, that is.
And so they're geographically. And so what are they like? Are they, like, they're not some sort of freakish outsider who must be repressed? I mean, repelled?
No. One guy, I think, is kind of lonely. He lives out in Beaver, so that explains it right there. And the other guy is rather, my opinion is that he's rather promiscuous.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And so do you think you'll be attaching to one or other of these folk?
I think the probability is small. The second guy, the promiscuous guy, well, whom I think is promiscuous, he just doesn't do anything for me, and I figure I don't need that hassle. The first guy is actually quite attractive, but I think he's just a little on the flaky side. He said he was dealing with some problems and he needed to get his head together. And so I just think on his part, it won't happen, although I would be willing for him.
Yeah. I'm reminded of the aphorism of never have sex with anyone who's crazier than yourself. This, of course, is not a rule that's always applicable, but
so never join a sex club that would have you as a member. It's interesting because I'm aware that IRC and its ilk are a means by which lots of people use to meet sexual partners online, and they have all these fabulous hookups, and yet that concept sort of intrigues me, but it's never happened for me, and I sort of fear it at the same time. Is there something that I should?
Well,
I don't know. It's confusing.
Which channels have you been reading?
Is there something that I should go? Well, that's just it. The only channel I ever go to on IRC is Gay Pittsburgh, Gay PGH, and it's some sort of like bizarre freak zone there, right? I mean, there'll be like 20 people there, and no one will be talking, or some clown will be sending like stream of consciousness, like. You know, I don't know, these teenagers are talking like there's some sort of cyberpunk futuristic teen speaking in a lingo that I can never understand because I'm like, you know, from the old century. I mean, I have no idea what these people are talking about. It's like, you know, do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Hey, cyber boy, you know, let me scan you. And I'm like, what are you? And I don't know. Like, I don't know how to integrate myself into this community enough to... to actually, like, have sex with them.
Well, I believe that my partner found the second guy on Gay Self Picks.
Gay Self Picks? Oh, yes. Interesting.
Yeah, of course that is worldwide, so you get, you know, people, so you have to kind of stumble upon someone from the local area. Mm-hmm. But you can certainly broadcast a message saying, I'm in Pittsburgh, and I want a threesome, and have picks to trade, because that's, you know, you want to see each other before you agree to this. Right before energy is expended, before the car is turned on.
Wow. So it's,
I agree with you that Gay Pittsburgh is kind of a bizarre IRC group. Like, for example, we were in Israel recently, and there was in the gay Israel chat room that there was tons of people talking and tons of people hooking up, and it was great. Although nothing happened for us, though. Although many people did proposition us.
Really?
Except they wanted to meet in their car or something, which was kind of bizarre. We could go to bizarre.
I've never really understood the geometry of sex in a car.
And that threesome's even worse.
Yes, exactly. Like, I can imagine two people in the back seat. Three people in the back seat seems to be pushing the bounds of geometry. Unless, like, the third person is kind of waiting in the trunk, but
the pinch hitter, so to speak.
I suppose it depends what you're doing, right? I mean, you know, traditional penetrative intercourse is probably really the most complicated thing, right? But you know, I mean, I guess oral sex is easier, right? And you know, oral sex while somebody's driving, that's, you know, that's, I guess.
I always wondered about that too. I've read stories and heard stories, but I find it difficult to imagine receiving oral sex while I'm driving. I feel like either I would lose control of the car, or I would be focusing on the maintaining control of the car to the exclusion of enjoying the oral sex.
Right. Yeah, I guess that, I mean, I think that's sort of part of it, is this the challenge of the challenge and the danger of maintaining control while this is happening. I mean, it's continue speaking. I had a fabulous thought.
On the further topic of automotive sex, I've seen for sale a vibrator with an attachment that plugs into the cigarette lighter.
Oh, good lord.
And this, too, seems like a hazard to public safety. Like,
that should be totally banned. Right?
Yeah, you hear people having a cell phone, quadruples your risk of being in an accident or whatever it is. It seems like using a vibrator in the while you're driving would be just as bad.
Right, although it might, you know.
I guess you could use it for passengers, or if you get, like, stuck in the gridlock, them over traffic.
It could address the road rage problem, right? I think it's much more serene.
That's true.
Anyway, how did we get on this topic?
Well, so you've been thinking about threesomes.
Well,
entertaining, I mean, the idea.
In some sense, I mean, it certainly would appeal to my fantasies to have, you know, a threesome with some, like, you know, Leo DiCaprio or some fabulous.
You gotta be kidding.
I am kidding. Leo frightens me, but you know, he's a freak. And so, but you know, some. Some fabulous, like, totally charismatic, fabulous.
Why do they have to be charismatic?
Sex babe. Oh, you know, I charisma is such an important part. It's a part of their sexual persona. You know, energetic, charismatic.
But you're not looking for a relationship with this guy. I assume it's a guy.
I guess, yeah. I mean, yeah, the fun sex part. I mean, you know.
Well, so they just be playful in bed. That does not require charisma.
Okay.
Doesn't require a PhD.
Well, of course. No, all my sexual partners have to have a higher degree. Otherwise, I just can't be bothered.
So what would you like to happen in this threesome?
Well,
what wouldn't happen? What definitely would not happen?
Well, you know, I guess you have to, I don't know, what wouldn't happen?
Like, would there be penetration involving this third person?
See, I'm a big fan of penetration. I mean, one of the things that I actually really want to do is be penetrated simultaneously. from both ends, as it were, you know, sort of.
Oh.
Simultaneous anal penetration. I'm probably not capacious enough for that kind of thing, but I was thinking,
that always seems like a tricky problem with geometry, too.
Well,
and I guess the extreme of tricky problems with geometry would be simultaneous anal penetration in a car.
Exactly. You know, during the filming of Wonder Boy.
That would be one of those things that gets talked about in an urban legend.
Right, well, it would go on the outtakes reel or the blooper reel or whatever. Definitely, you know, performing both the simultaneous oral sex and getting penetrated anally at the same time would be one of my fantasies, you know. And so, you know, you always, especially with some random third party, you certainly have to pay attention to sort of safe sex rules. But, mm-hmm. you know, so it would have to, that would have to go along with the two. But, I don't, it's sort of annoying. I don't think I would have anal sex even with a condom with a stranger, but I don't know. Maybe if the circumstances were right, or mm-hmm. if I had my array of testing equipment there. Totally screen out all possible hazards.
So would you be doing anything, or would anything be happening with your penis in this?
Well, you know, I mean, in a double penetration scenario, no. That's the maximum degradation sex slave mode, where I'm just like
an orifice.
I'm just the pathetic
or
tool
set of orifices
for the pleasure of my you know. My straight frat boy masters. So I guess that's something I would like. What else? Actually, if one of these people was sort of a BDSM person, that would be good too, because then I could be flogged while being penetrated or something like that. You know, there's some mm-hmm. sort of a combination of. I've never actually combined BDSM and sex. In my limited forays into BDSM, it's always been sort of straight BDSM. No overt sex play was involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be good. And, you know, I can make all my sort of military and fraternity fantasies are reality. If I just had that third person, and I know you're out there. Yeah.
Have you explored uniform fantasies?
Is that question directed at me? No, I guess not. I'm not sure that appeals to me.
It's perfectly fine if it doesn't. Your mention of military fantasies just piqued my curiosity.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you meant Star Trek uniforms. it's funny because it's been a long time since I've actually had any kind of elaborate sex involving fantasies at all, and it's really much more, my sex life is much more in some sense mechanical than that. So the idea that, you know, we would go and buy uniforms and do some kind of elaborate.
I'm interested in your fantasies as well as what you do in reality.
I guess not. I guess I don't really have a uniform fetish. I mean, I'm you know, certain people in certain roles appeal to me. Like I said, you know, the kind of disdainful sort of athlete frat boy is very appealing to me because they dislike me so much and yet they need to use me. You know, that's really satisfying. And, you know, I guess sort of things like that. I was going to say a cop fantasy, but I don't really have a policeman thing ever since.
Mm-hmm. That unfortunate incident.
With the traffic violation and the muskrat.
You've seen too many porn films.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way. Can't get out your traffic ticket.
Right. Officer, isn't there a way we can work this out? But, you know.
Yeah?
I want to just bounce that question back at my esteemed panel and have you comment on your fantasies along the same line. Sebastian, are there like unsatisfied urges that you have that...
I really don't have any along those lines.
Incredible.
I know. So boring. Well, as you know, I do happen to frequent some bathhouses occasionally, so that does fulfill some of my fantasy needs, you know, just selecting among all the people there, doing whatever I want.
Yeah, in some, I mean, this is going to sound sort of pathetic, but I mean, I think most of my fantasies are sort of by nature unfulfillable. You know, it's sort of like, you know, being Wesley Crusher's holodeck sex slave or whatever. I mean, just things that sort of by their nature I could never actually do. And so the things that are actually sort of more achievable, like, you know, hot steamy sex in a bathhouse, which I could presumably do, are kind of, I don't know, are less interesting to me. I mean, either because, I mean, you could argue that I'm actually afraid of any kind of sexual interaction that might actually happen, or you could argue that, you know, my fantasies are so exotic that they're just never likely to happen.
I have occasional exotic, unfulfillable fantasies. Like, I remember a few years back I had this occasionally recurring fantasy of just having lots and lots of penises all over my body and being able to use them all simultaneously. The exact geometry of this never got worked out clearly. But,
we'll call this the porcupine fantasy. Wow. You know, it's interesting. Well, you know, this could be an incredible moment because I've actually had the exact dual of that fantasy. Believe it or not.
Penises all over your body?
Oh, well, no, not exactly. Just having sex with someone who had penises all over his body, and then I could just be, like, grabbing and touching various different ones, and they would all be probing me simultaneously or whatever. Wow. So, I mean, this immediately, there's all kinds of sort of topology problems with this, right? I mean, like, you wouldn't even be able to sit down with, like, without, like, smashing some of them and
frankly the fantasy does not bear that much examination. Like,
sort of massive emergency room nightmare, like all these, like, what is it called when you, like, bend your erection in half and it, like, breaks?
A bruise?
Well, no, it's just like
extreme pain.
You know, those little vesicles inside the penis that provide the erectile stiffness, you know, they can break under extreme trauma. So
I've heard of that. I don't know what the term is.
Okay.
I'd like to turn the conversation to another topic of which I was reminded by the topic of anal penetration.
Interesting.
So.
One moment, please. Just get out your pencils and write down our number and call it 268-9728. Also, that's better remembered as 268-WRCT.
Continue. So. When I'm receiving anal stimulation, my own experience is I get very aroused, very erect, but it's very difficult for me to actually orgasm from anal stimulation. It's even hard for me to orgasm from someone else stimulating my penis while I'm being stimulated anally. And it usually comes down to me really needing to masturbate to release it, usually with spectacular effects. It's those situations that lead to, like, semen shooting past my head. But
I need to sort of rewind you just a little bit. This fascinates me. You are putatively, you know, heterosexual.
Pretty much, yeah.
And yet you seem to be interested in anal stimulation. Does this not make you unusual? Do straight men have erotic interest in their anus?
I certainly can't speak for all straight men, but and there's the prostate gland there, which is a fabulous source of pleasure. And certainly many men to enjoy the having fun with that without needing to mix it with homosexuality. Mixing it with the homosexuality is great too, yes, straight men can certainly enjoy the anal penetration. In fact, the Blowfish catalog, which we talked about, what was it, just last week, had a fabulous, that offers for sale a video called Bend Over Boyfriend about the men being penetrated by their girlfriends or wives wearing strap-ons. And apparently this is one of their biggest sellers, selling videos.
Oh, that's incredible. Wow. So that my mind is just sort of stunned. So do you think that this is so appealing because of the kind of forbidden kind of gender swapping imagery, or because it just mechanically feels good for them, or some combination of those things?
Some combination, certainly. Like I was talking just this evening to a submissive guy who said that being penetrated with dildos makes him feel really, really submissive, takes it deeply into a submissive headspace. And so that's a big part of what turns him on.
Right.
Mostly for me, it's that it feels good.
Right. I mean, I can certainly agree with your friend, although I don't use the same vocabulary necessarily, but
part of the same dildos.
Right. You know, I mean, when I'm being sort of penetrated anally, it feels fabulous, but it's also still, to me at least, just a little bit uncomfortable or strange or something. And so, you know, that feeling of uncomfortableness combined with the pleasure, you know, enhances my feelings of being degraded. I'm like, you know, I have to endure this because my, you know, my derisive frat boy lover requires it, right? I mean, yeah. You know, I'm doing this for his pleasure rather than for mine, even though I am actually really enjoying it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Actually, and I think there is something psychological about it for me also, because it's when I'm being the penetrated anally that I come closest to enjoying being bound. And what is that there is that I really like the feeling of being able to pull on something with my arms while I'm being penetrated.
So what are you being penetrated with? And I have a follow-up question, which was suggested by Sebastian.
So this has not happened often, and unfortunately not happened very recently. But when it did happen, it was the fingers.
You know, it's actually ironic. I've heard other people have said this. The thing I like, that's my least favorite thing to be penetrated by, is fingers. Fingers really annoy me for some reason. I think the kind of sort of scratchy fingertip or something, even with someone with short nails, it's just annoying. I would much prefer, you know, I can accommodate objects much bigger than fingers, but fingers really annoy me. So go figure. So Sebastian earlier today asked,
over lunch, didn't I ask you this question that I was wondering what was the oddest thing that you'd ever actually put up your rectum?
The oddest thing I ever put up my rectum.
I can answer that. So when I was in junior high, and just the sexually curious, I'd read a few books about sex, and read about the people putting things in anuses, and was kind of fiddling around. And I had a couple of spherical dice, and
Good Lord! So from the D&D
yes
type of the
yes that round dice about the size of a large marble, and I slipped those inside.
And how did you get them out?
Actually, the...
I still haven't.
Well, I presume they got excreted and...
So you just left them in there until...
You presume?
I failed to successfully retrieve them.
Wow.
But you tried.
I tried.
That's incredible.
So, I can't believe you were fearful of not being able to get this out of you. What if it was a painful experience and you couldn't get it out?
Then I would have tried a lot harder.
Oh, so was it traumatic for you, or like?
No, it wasn't particularly traumatic. It was annoying.
It's probably your favorite. I mean, that could be like a whole new way of rolling dice. Like, Luke is rolling lucky sevens tonight. I mean, I think actually, you know, I don't know, but I mean, I think that, I mean, things can get sort of stuck inside your rectum. That's really a problem. But something like a little round object, you probably just sort of excrete out, and it feels just sort of like, you know, the normal kind of bowel movement process. You can sort of push it out, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. That was your experience. So D&D dice. Can I beat
round dice? Yes.
Can I beat D&D dice? It's interesting. I was doing various experiments with my own anal eroticism, and it was funny because I would always get these urges like at really annoying times. Like it'd be 3 a.m. and I'd be like, you know, I must fashion a dildo. And then, you know, because I was living at home and because I didn't want my mother, my all too inquisitive mother, to be like searching through my stuff, it's not like I had this fabulous cache of sex toys. So I always had to, like, when the urge overcame me, I'd have to, like, go into MacGyver mode, right? And, like, fashion sex toys from, like, objects I found around me. And then, you know, and then of course, after the sex thing was over, I was just like, oh, God, you know, all this must be destroyed and eliminated. And so the cycle would repeat itself over and over again every time I got into one of these moods. And so, you know, like one time I remember going to Safeway. I don't know if they still have Safeways.
Sure.
Or if it was destroyed. But, you know, and buying, like, all of their silly putty, right, and forming, like, you know, a giant dildo out of silly putty. And that was pretty good, actually, although the cashier, I think, unknowingly, he's like, boy, you're going to be having fun with this. But I don't think he really knew what I was what I had planned. And so that was amusing. I guess, you know, obviously...
I was expecting something like vegetables.
Right. I mean, obviously, you know, and vegetables, the funny thing is vegetables aren't quite right for me. I mean, I have tried, you know, the, like, tantalizing-looking zucchini or cucumber, but, I mean, cucumbers are too straight. Actually, I mean, I don't know what vaginas want, but, you know, at least my anus wants something with a little give so that it can kind of bend as it sort of goes up the cavity. And, you know, cucumbers are so unyielding that it's actually kind of annoying in my experience. You know, I've done hot dogs, although they're sort of unsatisfying because they're so little. I mean, at some point... And some of those things, I mean, you know, I mean, the tragedy of, like, modern, you know, dildo-shaped foods is that, like, the big sausages are invariably, like, super spicy, and they're, like, way too irritating to put in food, unless you, like, wrap it in a condom or something, and that gets complicated.
Particularly if you're living in your parents' house.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I guess, you know, the only disturbing thing is I think one time in college, I was in a long, pointless story. I think, you know, I was actually one time in. This is one of those things that I've never. You know how, like, you have these little encounters with people and they never actually, like, talk about it? Like, you know, your grandfather catches you masturbating, which happened to me, by the way, and no one talks about it. This sort of happened to me once in college. I was like, I had, like, a hot dog all wrapped up in, like, a piece of. You know, saran wrap or something, and I was, like, playing with it as a dildo, and then I left my bedroom to, like, go to the kitchen or something, maybe to get more hot dogs, and then meanwhile, my roommate's girlfriend, like, they just finished having sex, and she got up and used my bathroom, and, look, you know, my equipment, my little wrapped hot dog was sitting there on the counter, and, you know, you know, this is a very emotional moment for me, because it was the first time I've ever told anybody this, so I have no idea what she thought, you know, after all, you know, maybe she thought I was just my little snack. I was just microwaving. Because I had actually microwaved it. Because, you know, you don't... Because you want it sort of warm. Because otherwise it's sort of annoying. Because it's too cool. So, you know, if you're listening... whatever your name is. I can't remember her name. You know, sorry. So, I guess, I don't know, I guess that's the most embarrassing thing I've put in my butt.
What about you, Sebastian?
Well, once again, I show my lack of imagination, and I have to admit it was maybe just a carrot. And Corey is right, it was too firm.
DJ Sensuous 2000.
DJ Sensuous 2000 is correct. That's right. Much too firm.
And they're sort of, carrots are sort of rough, too. I don't know if you had the roughness.
Well, I like
problem.
The pleasure ridges on him. but that was about it.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's a shame. I'm just wondering.
I did put it back in the crisper, though, afterwards. Oh. I'm just kidding.
And so, we only have about 60 seconds left, and I will close this little chat with the most disturbing imagery that I can think of at the moment, which is one time I ate cherries out of my boyfriend's butt. So we sort of pushed a few out there, up there, and he sort of injected them one by one into my waiting mouth, and you know, it was actually extremely intense sensation for me, just because, you know, it's sort of like, it feels sort of like scat, but it's not, because it's actually food. But I mean, you get this kind of sensation that someone's sort of, you know, defecating into your mouth, which is actually really disgusting. But you know, when you're as burned out as I am, you have to keep trying new things in order to keep the love alive. So with that thought, I think we should close. We're just about out of time. This is WRCT Pittsburgh, servicing the community for over half a century. Thank you for listening.
Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.
Amsterdam, the girls are so sweet.